Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Let us lift up our hearts unto the Lord. We confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 138, stanza 1 and 2. Gathered together as God's people this afternoon, united in the one true Christian faith with the church of all times and all places. This Christian faith has been summarized by the church in the Nicene Creed, amongst other creeds. I'd like to read this creed with you now. Following this, we'll sing together from Psalm 62, stanza 3 and 4. Let everyone say in his heart, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in one in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you that we may know that you are our Father. We may know that you are in heaven. And we know that from heaven you care for and through your Son, Jesus Christ, you rule over this world which you have made. We thank you that you are in control of all things. We thank you that you see that all things will come to pass just as you have determined. And we thank you that we may know that you work all things to the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, we thank you for this because when we go out into this world, we can feel, and we do feel so often, so very vulnerable. And we also recognize our inability to control our own lives, our own destiny. And we also experience much grief, much loss, and much suffering. And there are times when we will cry out, "How long, O Lord?" And there are times in which we wonder just what is happening. But Father, it's in times like that, this, that we may also be comforted, that we may have you as our faithful God, as our loving Savior. You who so loved this world that you sent your only Son, who suffered and who died in our place, so that in him we may receive the end of all suffering and the promise of eternal joy. Father, as we reflect on this wonderful gospel promise this afternoon, we pray that we may be strengthened, we may be blessed, and we may be encouraged, and that we may be more, all the more eager to wait for you, to love you, and to serve you. Pray, Lord, for your blessing upon us. Bless also the thank offerings which we give. Father, we pray that you'll bless the regular contributions we make for the ministry of the gospel. We also pray that you'll bless the thank offering we seek to give now for Eucalypt. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing and your care also upon those with special needs amongst us, that they may be well supplied. And we ask, O Lord, that we may also lovingly and cheerfully assist so that they will be well cared for. For these too are your children. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us from sin and hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. You have the opportunity to give your thank offerings to the Lord, and the collection this afternoon is for Eucalypt. That is a home and organization for those with special needs amongst us. Following this, we're going to sing together from Psalm 88, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. Now, we're also going to be reading from this psalm, and I'll be focusing on this psalm very much in the preaching. As we sing this psalm, you'll notice just how dark and how bleak this psalm is. When Heman wrote this psalm, he was clearly in a place of great and deep suffering. As we sing this psalm, let us also do that reflecting on the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he did come to also bring our suffering to an end so that in him we may be relieved from that suffering. So we're going to sing Psalm 88. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. I've been asked to preach to you God's word this afternoon concerning the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ as it's confessed in Laws 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In that connection, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to God's holy word upon which our confessions are firmly based. And we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 53, first of all, which is a prophecy concerning the sufferings of Christ. And then we'll read from Psalm 88, which is the sufferings of one of God's children. And then a small portion from Matthew 8, verse 1 to 4. We first of all begin our scripture reading then in Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall be justified many, and he shall bear their iniquities. And therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Let's now turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah to the chief musician, set to Mahalath Le'anoth, a contemplation of Heman, the Ezrahite. O Lord God, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintance far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I'm shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I've been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I'm distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They've come around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. We'll now turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1. When he, and this is the Lord Jesus, when he'd come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So far, the reading from God's holy word. Let's sing together from hymn 25, verse 4 and 7, the rhymed version of Isaiah 53, hymn 24, stanzas 4 and 7. Let's now read from one of the confessions of our church, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15. You can find this on page 529 in the Heidelberg Catechism. Sorry, in the Book of Praise, page 529. What do you confess when you say that he suffered? During all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end, Christ bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. And thus, by his suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, he has redeemed our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtained for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Though innocent, Christ was condemned by an earthly judge and so freed us from the severe judgment that was to fall on us. Question 39. Does it have a special meaning that Christ was crucified and did not die in a different way? Yes, thereby I am assured that he took upon himself the curse which lay on me. For a crucified one was cursed by God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we suffer, our world becomes very, very small. We feel isolated. We feel very much alone. We feel abandoned. We can feel forsaken. We find it very hard to face the world. We find it very hard to face our friends. And for some strange reason, we find it very hard to face up in church. When we suffer, it so quickly happens that we become our own little island. We're crying out for help, but it's like no one's able to give it. And when they offer help, it's hard to accept. And it can feel as though our friends and our family are far away. And sometimes it feels as though God is even further away and is not there for us. It's like we just cannot seem to reach him. We read together from Psalm 88. Heman the Ezrahite experienced that, verse 6 to 9. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm in the entire Bible. It expresses the lonely pain of one who is in the midst of intense suffering and he sees no way out. Where are you, God? Why don't you see my affliction, and why do I suffer all alone? And yet, even as we read this psalm, and even as we sang it, as we just did, we know that Heman the Ezrahite, Psalm 88, he does not suffer alone. And as we read this psalm, even though it is indeed the darkest psalm in the Bible, we need to see that there is more to this psalm than just a cry of hopelessness. First of all, you can see already in verse 1 that he is indeed praying to the Lord, the God of his salvation. That's how he begins this psalm. And so even as he cries out to the Lord, Lord, where are you? Why have you left me and abandoned me and forsaken me? He's calling God, the Lord of my salvation. This is what he knew, this is what he knows, and this is what he confesses. And so that's the first thing to take note of. But we also need to remember that we need to read everything in its context. And in this case, we also need to read this in the rest of the context of the book of the Psalms and in the rest of Scripture. The very next psalm, it's not written by Heman the Ezrahite, but the very next psalm is written by Ethan the Ezrahite. It begins with this verse. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. That's also in the book of Psalms. I could refer to other psalms as well, many psalms. So, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Psalm 139, 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. And so why I'm pointing out these other psalms is just to point out to you that already in the Old Testament, for both Heman the Ezrahite and all those who could read and relate to Psalm 88, there was this glimmer of hope that was always shining there, even in the darkest of suffering. But today, that glimmer has become a bright light, and that darkness has been overcome. This afternoon, we also read from Heidelberg Catechism to direct our thoughts towards the suffering, not of us as such, but to direct our thoughts to the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because in the suffering of Christ, we learn that God not only heard the cries of Psalm 88, but He has heard the cries of all His children. And not only has He heard these cries, but He's done something about them. He's sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to take away the cause of our suffering, which is sin, and so that we can look forward to the redemption of our body and soul, and to enjoy the blessings of the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. And that's what I wish to preach to you about this afternoon. Preach you God's word concerning the suffering of Christ, the following heading: Christ suffered in my place. Christ suffered in my place. First of all, then, He suffered because of my sin, and second, He suffered for my salvation. There are times when we can indeed become very overwhelmed by suffering. First of all, we can become overwhelmed by suffering in our own lives when things just all come together in such a terrible, crushing sort of a way that we simply physically, emotionally cannot bear it anymore. Sickness, accidents, death, and trauma can and do come to God's children. Many of you have ever experienced that, also very recently. And then within our communities, our church community, we experience these sorts of things in our wider community as well, the community, the towns and this city in which we live, relationships broken down. We see and hear of evidence of violence and of a breakdown in families. We hear of drug abuse, alcohol abuse. We know about loneliness. And a loneliness which is so hard, which is so great, that people feel so closed in that they do not know where to turn. And then, of course, it's not just in our own immediate circles, but we know that this is a world where suffering goes on day after day. Yes, even untold suffering and things we could not even begin to understand, where there is war and where there is persecution and where there is hunger, where there is homelessness, in such a way where there's just no way out for so many people. Lonely people crying out for love and acceptance, and countless millions suffering from depression and from grief. And at times, as I said, the suffering can become too much. We want to make sense of it. We want to explain it all away, but we cannot. And in our efforts to make sense of the suffering of this world, the only thing we can do is to cause our thoughts to turn to God. And then even as we do so, the question is raised and is asked by many, but where is God when it hurts? Where is He? And this is an age-old question. It was the question that David asked in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's the question also of Heman the Ezrahite in Psalm 88. Now, the reason why we know that Heman the Ezrahite wrote Psalm 88 is because it says so in the Bible, that this was a contemplation of Heman the Ezrahite, but we don't really know too much more about Heman, as what I mean to say by that is that who this Heman, the Ezraite, really was then is not completely clear. There are some hints in Scripture as to who this Heman was. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6, it lists a Heman along with his brother Ethan as a son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. That could well be it. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 speaks of a Heman along with Ethan, the Ezraite, as being a very wise man. And 1 Chronicles 15, verse 9 speaks of both a Heman and an Ethan being musicians. Now, when you start to just put all these things together, I think it is safe to make some tentative, at least, conclusions that the Heman of Psalm 88 was a wise man and a musician who lived approximately in the time of David and Solomon. Now, from verse 1 of Psalm 88, we can learn something else about Heman, and that is that he was faithful in serving the Lord, the God of his salvation. He cried out to him day and night. So this was not some sort of a man who was just on the fringes or who didn't really worship God or serve God. No, he worshipped God. He served him. He cried to him day and night. He, in that sense, had a very close and living relationship with God, even in the midst of his suffering. But the concern and the problem and the grief which Heman had was that it was as if the Lord, the God of his salvation, that he was not hearing those prayers. And instead of things getting better, his life was sliding deeper and deeper into the pit. Verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. Heman, we can read from this, is a sick man. He's at death's door. And his friends and his colleagues have written him off as one who is already dead. But worse, verse 8. You, God, have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. And verse 18, the last verse. Loved one and friend you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. Now, as you read from Psalm 88, you read through these things, you try to get a bit of an understanding of who Heman is or was, and what this suffering was all about. You get a clear understanding that he's suffering very intensely, and it also appears that he's suffering from sickness, a sickness to the point of death. We see he was an abomination to his friends, and he's completely isolated from his friends as well. And if we add all those things up together, we get the picture of someone who's suffering from an illness which makes him socially unacceptable to others and must be separated from them. And then if we think about that in the Old Testament contexts, our thoughts will go to the disease of leprosy. Leprosy, in its various forms, was a wasting disease. And in the Old Testament, the leper was banished from his people. Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46 says this, and I quote, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp." Now, it seems to fit to read Psalm 88 in the light of Heman having leprosy and so being banished from both the house of God and from the people of God. He's cut off from the other musicians in the temple. He's separated from his family. He's got no one to support him. He's utterly and terribly alone. No friends, no family, and it feels like no God. And all that he had left was the darkness. The NIV has for that last verse of Psalm 88, "And the darkness is my closest friend." Heman was suffering. And it appears that he was suffering alone and he was living alone outside of the covenant community. But assuming that the cause of his suffering was leprosy, why was it that the Lord caused these lepers to live alone outside the covenant community? Wasn't Haman, assuming he's suffering from leprosy, I think he was, wasn't Haman suffering enough as it was simply because he had such a terrible disease? Why did his suffering have to be added to by being cut off from his people in the land of the living? There's a case to be made for saying that the laws for leprosy quarantined those who were sick, and that this was for the good of the rest of the people of Israel. It's probably true, particularly in those days when they did not have the tablets and the medications that we have now to fight things such as leprosy and skin diseases. Of greater importance was the spiritual significance, however, of what this disease pointed to. Because you need to understand here, it was not really for these physical reasons of health and hygiene that lepers were sent out of their communities. But rather, in the Bible, leprosy was a sign of the deathly and the decaying nature of the uncleanness of sin. God used leprosy as a very vivid and a real picture of sin. You see, leprosy spoke of disease, of decay, and of death. In many ways, a man who was afflicted with leprosy was a dead man walking. And for that reason, leprosy was a clear picture of what sin is. And a leper in the Old Testament, Israel, he was a clear picture of one who lived under the curse of sin. And leprosy was also a picture of how sin contaminates everything it gets into contact with. Israel was to be a holy nation, set apart to the Lord. And therefore, Israel had, as a nation, had to be separated from everything which was unclean. Because if they touched something that was unclean, then the uncleanness of the thing that they touched, it would be transferred to them, and they too would be defiled by this unclean thing. And this is why those with leprosy were to live outside of the camp and away from the people of God. And the only way back was to be healed, was to be cleansed, was to have the shame and the curse in that way removed. But leprosy in the Old Testament wasn't really the problem. Leprosy was a picture of the real problem. And so what was so badly needed by everyone with leprosy, including the leper himself, was not a cure for leprosy as such, but a cure that could take away what leprosy represented. Something to take away the contamination and the curse of sin. And that was not just the case for him and the Ezraite. That's the same for you and the same for us all. We have all fallen under the curse of sin. And all suffering is the result of the fall into sin. Genesis 3 already taught us what happened when Adam and Eve fell into sin. They were driven out of the garden, away from the presence of the Lord, into a wilderness of pain and suffering and separation from the God who created them. And Genesis 3 already makes it clear that it is sin that is the cause of all grief. And all the suffering that we experience today can indeed find its beginning in that fall of Adam and Eve in paradise. And the only true and lasting answer to suffering, therefore, can be found in the removal of what caused it. And that is the removal of sin. And when we think about that, then we begin to see the gospel and the good news in those words in the Apostles' Creed. He suffered. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified. Laws 15 explains just what it was that Christ suffered. It says here that he suffered from the wrath of God. It's in answer 37. And he suffered, in answer 38, says he suffered from the severe judgment of God. Answer 38. And answer 39, he suffered from the curse of God. Heman the Ezraite, he may have felt all alone in his suffering. He may have felt that the Lord, the God of his salvation, was so far away that he did not see his suffering. But the truth of the matter is that God does see his people in their suffering. And it grieves the Lord to see his children suffer, even though now we can never blame him for that suffering. But God knew what Heman's real problem was. And it was not leprosy. The real cause for Heman's suffering and the real cause for all the suffering which is going on in this world is sin. No, it's not as though there's some particular sin in your life which has caused your particular suffering. We don't want to go down that road because that's just simply not true. The Bible teaches us that. At least in the sense that it's not for us to make that immediate equation. But the real cause for suffering is still sin. And if that cause for suffering, which is sin, is not taken away, we would all experience the curse and the wrath of God against sin, not just now, but for all eternity. And so the Lord God sent his Son, Jesus, to suffer in Heman's place and in your place. Jesus carried our curse to the cross. Christ suffered in my place. And so he suffered. He suffered for me. He suffered for you in our place. And when you understand this, then you can no longer think that God is unable or unwilling to do anything about the suffering which we experience. Because God so loved this world that he would not leave it remaining under the tyranny of the devil, but he sent down to this earth his one and only Son to suffer in our place and to rescue us from the eternal pain of hell and to make all things new. In Jesus Christ, we see that God made the way to put an end to the eternal cause of misery, which is sin, and so that we might be freed from suffering as the just payment for sin and look forward to living with him in eternal blessedness forever. Brings me to my second point, and that is that Christ suffered for my salvation. Psalm 88 is a very dark psalm. It expresses the intensity of the depths of human suffering. In Psalm 88, Heman the Ezraite is separated from all that he loves. He's in the lowest point. He's in the pit. He's in the darkness. He's in the depths. He's an abomination to his acquaintances, and they look at him as if he's already dead. Unclean, unclean, keep your distance. Stay away from the one who carries the curse of leprosy. The Lord would not leave Heman in the darkness. The Lord would reveal himself to be the Savior whom Heman confessed him to be. For the Lord would come not just to take away the curse of leprosy, but he would come to take away the curse of sin. And this is what he did in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. We read together also from Matthew chapter 8, and perhaps now it's becoming clear why we read that. Because we read there about a man with leprosy coming to Jesus. And this man comes to Jesus, this leper, and he worshipped him. And he said this in Matthew 8 verse 2. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, I'd like you just first of all just to notice the words here in Matthew 8 verse 2. I'd like you to notice the words this leper spoke. "You can make me clean, Lord." See, he didn't just simply say, "If you're willing, you can heal me," which is true. But he used the word clean, purified, with the stain, the shame, and the uncleanness removed. And verse 3, Jesus put out his hand and he touched him and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. That's amazing. Just how God, how Jesus Christ took away the uncleanness of this man's leprosy, and his leprosy was gone. But there's more to this miracle than a leper being healed, because take note of what Jesus did before he said these words. Before Jesus said, I'm willing to be cleansed, it says here that he put out his hand and he touched him. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Here is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the one who alone is perfectly clean and perfectly holy, the one who knew no sin. He comes and he touches an unclean leper. And he touched him. Actually, the Greek here says that he held on to him quite firmly. And in this way, the Lord, he says to this leper, I will take your uncleanness upon myself. I come to bear your sin. I come to bear your shame. And in its place, I give you my cleansing, my healing, and my holiness, and my forgiveness. You see, this is what Jesus came to do. He came to carry the guilt and the shame and the curse of my sin and of your sin. And he came to offer himself as the only atoning sacrifice. The sacrifice to cancel the curse that lay upon us. He freed us from the severe judgment of God that was to fall on us. And so he redeemed our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtained for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. This is all Heidelberg Catechism language, biblical language, I must say. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered in our place to cancel the curse which lay upon us. He suffered to take away the cause of our suffering. He suffered to take away our sin. And he did that for Heman the Ezrahite too. In Psalm 88, Heman asked God in verse 14, Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? But the prayer of Heman the Ezrahite was answered. It was answered fully and completely in the sending of Jesus Christ, who took the curse of sin and with it the suffering of him and the suffering of all God's people upon himself. Jesus Christ came to take Heman's place. And now I'd like just to point to Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read some verses from Isaiah 53. And for you to see here how this describes the suffering of our Lord and how much Christ's suffering resembled the suffering of Heman that we read in Psalm 88. I'm going to go to Isaiah 53. In verse 3 to begin with. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Could you hear those words? Prophesying the suffering of Christ, mirroring the suffering of Heman. And verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Heman saying, you've done this. And verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who declared to his generation, for he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Cut off from the land of the living. Heman felt that way. Christ experienced it in its fullness. And the gospel of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ is that he did these things for. for you, his children. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that's the good news. That's the gospel of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. The curse which lay on me and the curse which lay on you was laid on Jesus, and he carried that curse to the cross. And through his suffering, he is carried and so canceled the curse that lay upon us. He bore the full wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race, and he has fully redeemed our body and our soul from everlasting damnation. And he's obtained for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. And Jesus, he wants nothing more than to freely give all those things to those who come to him in faith. Psalm 88 is still in the Bible. It's still in our psalm books. It's still appropriate to sing it on occasion. But when we read or sing this psalm today, we need to do this in the full awareness of the suffering of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Christ carried my curse to the cross. He suffered in my place. He took my sin, my shame, and my uncleanness on himself so that I might receive his holiness, his cleansing, his healing, and his forgiveness. We do still suffer, and we'll continue to do so for as long as this sin-filled world remains. But as we suffer, we may remember that the curse has been cancelled and that we've been taken out of darkness and infused with the light of life. We still suffer and we still grieve. But the suffering and the grief that we as God's children experience today, it is not a punishment. Certainly not in the sense that it is a payment for our sin. That payment's been finished. It's been made in full. Now in Christ, our suffering takes on a different meaning. God's not punishing us to cast us away from his presence, but he uses suffering to mold us and to shape us and to perfect us and to strengthen us and to make us ready to live with him in eternal blessedness forever. In all our suffering today, we may be comforted in the sure truth that we are not alone, but that he who suffered in our place is with us. His Spirit is there to guide us and to hold on to us and to bring our tears into the very presence of God. And he's working all things in such a way that one day our suffering is going to be over. And then we'll enjoy the full fruit of Christ's suffering. And that is the eternal blessedness of life with him. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 22, verse 8 and 9. Before we come together for prayer, of a few announcements, the consistory have asked me to pass on to you. An attestation has been requested by Sister A. Plater to the Free Reformed Church of Beldivis. Classes Central will take place on the 26th of May, and classes will convene at 9 a.m. in the Free Reformed Church of Byford. The consistory of the Free Reformed Church of Melville has advised us that they've extended a call to Reverend Aaron Whitten of the Vernon Canadian Reformed Church to minister to the congregation of Melville. Home visits planned for this week to Family A. Visser, Wednesday 7:30 p.m., Family D. Veltman, Monday 7:30 p.m., and Family J. Fockamer, Thursday 7:30 p.m. In our prayer, we'll also ask the Lord to grant his blessing upon brothers Eric DeHaan and Brian Bosfeldt, who, God willing, will be traveling to Sumba this coming Friday. Let's pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the way in which he suffered in our place, so that he would take away the cause of suffering, which is sin. And so that we may be relieved from that suffering, and that we may look forward to a life of eternal joy with you. Heavenly Father, we still experience, and sometimes in very deep and in dark ways, just what suffering is in this world and in this life. And some of us are going through that right now, with the death of loved ones, with illness, with depression, with broken relationships, with other crises in our lives. And as we go through these things, there are times when we can really relate to what Heman, the Ezraite, was going through in that Psalm 88. But Father, as we go through these things, we pray that you'll lift our eyes beyond the darkness and to the light that is ours in Christ Jesus, the one who truly suffered to take our sin upon himself, and so that in him we may be freed from suffering. Father, we do still grieve in this world, and we live in a world which is groaning for redemption. And so, Lord, this causes us to yearn more and more for the time when our Lord Jesus Christ will return, and when you will make all things new and all things well, and we can have that blessedness of living in your presence forever, in a time when all grief is banished and you'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. And Father, we pray that day will come soon. But Lord, as we go through this life, we pray that we may indeed comfort one another with these words. And not only comfort, but that we may also call one another to a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only then that we can truly experience the comfort that we may have, that we can look forward to an eternal life of joy with you, and the comfort of having our sins forgiven. Father in heaven, we then pray for our loved ones. And yes, we pray for this city. We pray for our communities where there is so much grief and sadness and trouble and trauma. And we pray, Lord, that many may yet hear and hear and believe the good news of salvation. And we pray also the same thing for those living further away. And so, Father, we also pray for your blessing upon the efforts that we seek to make to see the word go out, not just here, not just in Rockingham, but the efforts that we make to have that word go out in other countries also, and particularly we think of Sumba, where there is, yes, much worship and love and joy and faith, but the way there is, just as there is here, much darkness. And Father, we pray that the gospel may be preached there in its clarity and its fullness, and that your Holy Spirit will work through that preaching, and that many may come to a saving, living knowledge of you. And therefore, we also pray for your blessing upon the visit which your brothers DeHaan and Bosfeldt will make, if it is your will, on this Friday. Father, as they travel there, we pray for traveling mercies, We pray for safety, but we particularly pray, Lord, that through their ministry also, the strongholds of Satan will be broken down more and more, and that your people may be gathered in. And Father, we pray that, even when they will be involved, no doubt, in very mundane tasks as well, we pray that they and we may always remember that great pressing need that all these mundane tasks work towards, and that is that your name may be praised also among the nations. Father, we thank you for this Sunday, and we thank you that we could begin this day with you. We pray that you'll bless us as we go about our activities in this week ahead. And Father, we pray that in all things that we may receive your blessing as we seek to serve you. We pray that you'll keep us from sin and hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 138, stanza 4. Let us lift up our hearts to God to receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.